Hello again, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you, my brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. Thank you for joining us today, and looking forward to having this study. We're going back into the study of life, and trying to figure out what is life, the definition of it. What is life? We talked about life truths of breath last recording. And we're going to continue in that today, and pray that you've been jotting down your notes and these truths that God the Holy Ghost is teaching you as we go through this, and you're seeing it in God's Word. And I remind you that that's what this study is all about, is God's Word. If we didn't have the Lord's Word and wasn't going to study God's Word, we're wasting our time, because there is no truth to study in this world, because it has no authority behind it. It has, you can have all kind of beliefs and so-called doctrines of your beliefs and everything else, but if you don't have an authority behind it that can back it up, then you have nothing. But we do. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, our Savior, our personal Savior, and our friend, He called us. And we have our Heavenly Father, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have God the Holy Ghost indwelling us, our Comforter, to help us. I'm glad of that, aren't you? And the longer you live with the Lord and fight the good fight of faith, and the more dependent you become on Him and the more you rely on Him and trust in Him, the more you see that you needed Him a long time ago. So let's go ahead and begin. I was just sitting there thinking, I was giggling about when I was listening to that, whatever you call that intro music, and was sitting there listening to that. I was thinking of how inadequate I am about being a speaker and what you want to call an elegant speaker. I'm not that at all. And I'm not sure I really want to be. I'd rather just speak plainly and like my mentors that the Lord's given me. The Lord gave me some good men to teach me. They're just as plain spoken as they can be. They use everyday language, and they've been teaching me, and I'm so thankful for the men that have taught me, and that there are very few of them. Lord handpicked them, and I'm thankful for that. I mean, I wanted to go off to college as soon as the Lord brought me back giving me a whooping and brought me back into fellowship with Him and was merciful to me. I wanted to take off and go to college. Every time I seen somebody walk the aisle and surrender to go to here or go to there, I wanted to go, man. But the Lord held me back, and I thought He was being kind of mean to me, not letting me go, because, you know, it's rare that you find somebody that will surrender their entire life and go. And I was willing, man. I don't care where you're going, I'll go. But He wouldn't let me. Instead, he handpicked a couple fellows to teach me the Word and teach me His Word, and I'm thankful for that. And I was sitting here thinking, you know, as this intro was going on, I wonder what the fellows do while they're waiting to start talking and stuff like that. And some men adjust their ties and adjust their cufflinks, you know, and get ready to take off and stuff like that. And I'm sitting over here adjusting my teeth. don't hang up yet. Don't hang up. Come on, just stay with me. It's better than spitting them out at you. And I have done that in a couple churches publicly. I'll tell you about that sometime. But anyway, let's get into our study today. Life, truths of breath. Truths of breath. We began that study, the beginning of life, truths of breath, I think a couple lessons ago. I don't remember. But anyway, maybe just the last one. But we went over some truths of what the scriptures talk about when it's on the subject of breath. Of breath, the breath that you breathe, and how that is significant to life. and what the Bible teaches concerning your breath and what you breathe and how you breathe and where you got your breath from, and the power that gives you the one behind that gives you the power to breathe, and actually what breath is. That would be a good study in itself, is to study breath and find out what the Bible says. What is breath? Well, we've almost answered that right here. As a matter of fact, we have answered it if you believe your Bible. We went over that, and we started in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, which explained almost every bit of what we're talking about. The Bible says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." It's because of breath that came from the Lord and out of the Lord. He breathed into man's nostrils that had a body and was not yet a living being. And when he did, the man came alive and became a living soul, a living soul. And we went on down through there and answered some questions concerning breath. Did the formed man have life before God breathed into his nostrils? No, he did not. Did he have a soul before God breathed into his nostrils? No, he did not. Could the formed man of the dust of the ground bring himself to life before God breathed into him? No, he could not. So we see that everything having to do with mankind and humankind during the creation was completely dependent on God to live. To live. And according to the scriptures, that hasn't changed. We are still completely dependent on the Lord for our breath and for life. And you got people walking around that'll hold their fist up to the Lord and will mock the Lord and curse the Lord and say some pretty ugly things to the Lord. And later on when they find out, I had a guy one time that was at the ministry that I was, the Lord was letting me help him with. And this fellow said one time, and it put me, it shocked me, because you hear a lot of pretty matter-of-fact things out of troubled men's lives and out of their mouths. And this one fellow says, he says, "I remember one time," he said, "I was so mad at God, I looked up at God, and I meant every word of it. I looked up at God, and I said, 'Come on down here, God, and I'll gouge your eyes out.'" Yeah, I when I heard that, I shook a little bit and kind of scooched away from him, you know. The Lord sent a lightning bolt. That shows you how merciful the Lord is, that he'll take that kind of garbage from a piece of dirt that breathes and give him chance after chance after chance after chance. He did me. We talked about having to do with breath. We asked the questions, according to what God's Word, what made and keeps man alive? Well, we found out that it's the Lord that keeps man alive. The Bible says that He holdeth. He holds man's breath. Keeps man alive. He holdeth our soul in life, the Bible says. We talked about what is it that causes man to die, and that's the absence of breath. The Bible teaches that. What part of a man dies when God takes away his breath? Well, his body dies, his flesh dies, and it goes back to the dust as God said it would. We come to the conclusion on one of them that God gives life by his breath, and God takes away life by taking away the breath that was breathed into man by God. What does that make God's breath? Why, it makes God's breath life. Life. We're talking about what is life. Well, we could honestly say, scripturally, that God's breath is life. We talked about the idols. Remember the idols that the Bible talks about in the book of Psalm, chapter 135, where the Lord says that man makes them, and they have mouths, and they have ears, and they have hands, and they have eyes, and they have features like a man. And they were made of precious things like silver and gold. And man made them, though. But one thing that man could not do with these things that God can do is make them alive and give them life. Man tries to duplicate God and it's never going to happen, and you see it all through your generation that you live, and you could probably testify to that you've seen in your generation man trying to be as God and create life. You see all the sheep that they done this to and done that to, and they say they created this and created that, but the problem with creation is that man starts out with substance. God starts out with nothing. God makes things from nothing. He speaks it, and it's so. Man has to start with something to make something. That's not creation. What did they have that man has? They had mouths. Man put mouths on their little idols. They put ears on their idols. They put eyeballs on their idols. But the problem was is that they had no life. They couldn't see, they couldn't hear, and they couldn't speak. Were they alive? No, they were not. Why? Because they did not have breath. And the Bible says that. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. In order for a man to be alive, according to what God says, he would have to have what? That the things, the idols, did not have. He would have to have breath. And that was what God gave man in the garden when he created the man out of the dust and breathed into his already made nostrils. So according to the verse that we read about the idols, what is breath? Well, breath is life. Well, who gives breath? God gives breath and gives life. Isn't that interesting? I think it's neat. It's truth, because it's Bible. And we're not saying what we think the Bible says. We're reading it and understanding it and taking it for what it says. That's what Booker T. Washington said one time. I think I said that on the last couple, one of the last couple recordings, is that somebody asked him one time and said, "Mr. Washington, does you understand all the Bible?" And he said, "No, ma'am." He said, "I just take it as it reads." And that's what we do. We just take it as it reads. So today we're going to begin, and we're going to start right back where we left off on another verse. And then we're going to ask some questions about that verse concerning life, truths of breath. We'll begin in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. I think I read that for you last recording, but by mistake, but either way. The Bible says in Leviticus, "For the life of the flesh," that's what our study's about, is life. "The life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." You say, well, why are we talking about this verse having to do with breath? Well, because it was breath in our last few questions that keeps the body alive. It was breath that God breathed into that body that he made out of the dust of the ground. It was breath that brought that body to life. And the verse here that we're reading says, for the life of the flesh is the body. That's what God made, and he breathed into the garden, breathed his breath into. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. So without the blood, you'll die. Anybody at all on this planet that's living in a human body, and even animals for that matter, which the Lord was talking specifically about, but it's still true, rings true for humans too. You cut yourself and drain the blood out of yourself, you're going to die. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, bringing it back to our study, life, truths of breath, let's ask a few questions concerning this and see what we can find out about breath concerning this verse. Where does the Lord say in this verse, life resides? Let's read it again. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. There's our answer. The Lord said it. He said, so where does the Lord say in this verse, life resides? Well, it resides in the blood. Now, we're not going to get too deep into this, but there was a change. There was a time when it didn't abide in the blood, because man used to not have blood. He had water flowing in the place of blood. And we'll get into all that some other time, but particularly in this verse having to do with breath, where does the Lord say in this verse life resides? In the blood. Next question. What is in man's blood that if it did not have, he would die? You say, well, there's all kinds of things in the blood. No, there's only just a few things in the blood. But what particularly in the blood that flows in the blood that the blood carries throughout the entire body that if it did not have, man would die? Breath. Oxygen. Breath. Are you getting this? Oxygen. If the blood is what carries the oxygen to the entire body, and if the oxygen does not get to any part of the body, that part of the body dies. It's the breath. Next question. How does man obtain this to stay alive? Well, he breathes. He takes in. And the lungs take it and distribute it into the circulatory system. And the circulatory system takes it to the body. The oxygen. What's the oxygen? What you draw in when you take a breath. The life of the flesh is in the blood. What's in the blood? Oxygen. Where do you get that from? Breathing. Isn't that neat? You can't beat that book with a... You can't outsmart that book. God's Word is perfect. Next question. So, breath is what? Breath is life. We talked about that. Whose breath is life? God's breath is life. So God is what? God is life. Isn't that neat? Listen to what John 14:6 says. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said with his own mouth that he was the life. Isn't that neat? That is neat. Do you see how the Lord's Word points us back to him when it comes to life, truths of breath? Look at these verses in Job and what it says. Job chapter 34 and verse 14 and 15, the Bible says, if he set his heart upon man, if he gather unto himself, listen, if he gather unto himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh shall perish together, and man shall turn again unto dust. So what's the Bible saying, Job, there? That if he set his heart upon it, upon man, if God decided, he was looking at man, and all of a sudden he decided that he wanted to gather to himself, the Bible says, his spirit and his breath. I guess his spirit and his breath are loaned to humans. All flesh shall perish together, and man shall turn again unto dust. If God decided he wanted to take his spirit and take all of his spirit and take all of his breath back to himself from where man is using it, it says, every man, all flesh shall perish together. Doesn't that make you feel kind of small? It should. But you got sapsuckers running all over this world that'll throw God the middle finger in just a second. They don't fear God, not at all. They'll cuss God in a minute. While there's some homosexuals that have an annual parade and mock the crucifixion. They have a float that goes into that parade, and they have a homosexual or one of the queers that calls herself a queer on one of them floats, and they stand up there like Jesus being crucified on one of their queer floats and mock the crucifixion. And it's the very one that they're mocking that gives them their breath and their spirit. And the scriptures teach that if God decided he wanted to snatch that spirit and that breath out of him, he'd fall down on that float and turn into worm food and rot. Yeah, that's how man is. Man's a smart aleck. And man is proud. And man is, he thinks he's something. But the Bible says, weighed in the balances, he's altogether vanity. Vanity. Altogether vanity. You know, God does not want you, the Lord wants you to be convicted about what you do and how you sin. But the problem is not what you do, it's who you are. The problem is not that you lie. The problem is not that that you imagine evil in your heart. The problem is not that you make dope. The problem is not that you commit fornication. The problem is not that and this and the other. The problem is what you are. You are evil. You are a sinner. And you're under the wrath of Almighty God because of that. You are cursed. And unless you're cleaned up and made righteous, God's going to punish you forever in hell, in the lake of fire. That's what's coming. Whether you believe it or not, or accept it or not, that's the facts. But the Lord had enough compassion for his creation that he made a way out of it. Through his son that he sacrificed, and it said, seeing the when Jesus was suffering, the Bible says it pleased the Father. His suffering pleased the Father because he knew that it was going to be a propitiation that he was going to be able to accept. No man could hand the Father anything that was acceptable to him to pay the payment for these sins. And for who you are. Jesus said, if ye, being evil, Jesus called you evil. He said, you are evil. You don't commit evil, even though you do commit evil. You are evil. There's a difference there. You see. But you got these arrogant idiots, bigots in the world today that think that they can, just because they say there's no God and they can believe there's no God, and because evil is not punished speedily, like the Bible says. The only reason people raise their voices and say their stupid things that they say against God and smart-alecky remark against God is because they get away with it right now. God could scare, Moses said one time when he stood before the Lord, he said, "I exceedingly quaked and trembled." He said his body went out of control and started quaking like he was being electrocuted with 220 volts. You know how people in the hot seat when they're being executed, how their body shakes when they're being electrocuted? That's quaking. And Moses said when he stood before God, he exceedingly quaked and trembled. So scared his body was shaking out of control. And you got these idiots walking around today saying they're not scared of God or scared of anything. Oh, yes, you are. You just hadn't been convinced yet. But the Bible says in Job, if he set his heart upon man, if he gather unto himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh shall perish together, and man shall turn again unto dust. Let's ask some questions about that. And the above word, now remember what we're talking about. We're talking about breath. We're talking about life, truths of breath. In the above verse, talking about Job that we just read, can God control man's spirit and breath? According to that verse, he can. It says he can take it anytime he pleases. Well, does the verse say man's spirit and breath are two separate entities? Yes, it does. The Bible says, if he set his heart upon man, if he gather unto himself his spirit and his breath, two different things mentioned there. But let me pause right here and say this. Anytime you see spirit in the scriptures and you see breath, and I say anytime, a lot of times in the scripture when you see spirit and you see breath mentioned, if spirit is mentioned, it's kind of like you'll also see breath in the background. If breath is mentioned, spirit will be somewhere in the background. And when breath is, and that's the way it is. It's kind of like when you're looking at a picture and you have focus on the person that's in the picture, but then vaguely you see a couple other people in the background. That's the way spirit and breath are in the scriptures. They're not the same, but they are so close that one of them's in the background. You see what I'm saying? Okay, so let's move on. What happens to a man if God gathers his spirit and breath? Well, the Bible says he'll drop dead. As a matter of fact, not just he'll drop dead, all flesh shall perish together if God decided to take his spirit and his breath back. Well, one thing this study on breath is showing us is how merciful God is, isn't it? What part of man dies when God takes his spirit and breath? Well, the Bible says right there, all flesh shall perish. So the body dies. When the spirit and the breath leave, the body dies. We've seen that in other verses. The soul does not go back to dust because it was not made of dust. The soul came to be by God's breath. Is any man excluded from God's power over his breath? Well, let's see. If he set his heart upon man, plural, meaning corporately, all of mankind, if he gather unto himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh shall perish together, and man, corporately, every one of them included, shall turn again unto dust. No man can stop God from taking his breath. He could take it right now. It's by God's mercy, every time you draw a breath, the Bible says, give thanks, always give thanks. And we should. Let's move on to one more. Did we answer that question? Is any excluded from God's power over his breath? Absolutely not. There are no exclusions. The Bible says God can take your breath anytime he pleases. Even the unbelievers. Daniel chapter 5, verse 23. The Bible says, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of the house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives and thy concubines, have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose all are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Now, of course, we know what this is. This is in Daniel, where this king is lifting himself up and getting all haughty and acting like he's somebody. And he brings in all his wives and all his friends and all of his concubines and brings them all in. And then he takes all the vessels of the Lord that were the Lord's, that were taken out of the Lord's house, and he brings them all in, and he starts giving everybody one, and they're drinking out of them, and they're drinking filth out of them, and drinking and honoring the gods of brass and silver and iron and wood and all this, and they're using God's equipment to do it with, and they're mocking the Lord. And the Bible says, and the God in whose hand thy breath is. God says he holds your breath in his hand. You know how that saying is. That God has you in his hand and he can do anything he wants to do with you. The Bible says that God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, you're not hiding anything from the Lord. Even if you have come out of the closet, you ain't hiding nothing from the Lord. Whose are all thy ways. God knows everything about you. He knows what's in your heart, and he knows what you mean by what's in your heart. He knows the thoughts and the intents. He knows what you're thinking, and he knows why you're thinking it. And whose are all thy ways hast thou not glorified. And that kind of upset the Lord. It didn't kind of upset him. He got on that guy. So we see there in that verse, I want to read you one more in Ezekiel, and then we'll ask some questions about truth of breath and close out this part of the study and move on to life truths of spirit. Now, this truths of breath study right here is pretty interesting because it's showing us some pretty significant truths concerning breath. We know that we don't have control over our breath. We take advantage of a breath, don't we? We just kind of I mean, there are things that we have to have safety factors, and we have to live under certain laws, because we know that if we don't, we are going to lose our breath and we're going to die. In other words, you don't see, people don't swim out into the deep without caution. Why? Because you can't breathe underwater. I mean, we live under certain rules to keep ourselves safe, having to do with breath. So we do fear losing our breath. But we do not fear the one that holds our breath in his hand as we should. And give him the glory and respect him for that and thank him for it. Let me read you here in Ezekiel chapter 37 what the Bible says. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. He's talking about an army out there laying in the wilderness, in the desert, out there in the hot sun, that all their guts and everything else has already been eaten by all the varmints and everything, and there's just an army full of skeletons out there, dried up as dry as can be. And he asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, only you know that, Lord. He said, prophesy unto them bones and tell them that I will cause breath to enter into you and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews. You know what they are. That's what holds all your body together. The parts of your, the stuff that straps you all together, under your skin. Sinews upon you, and will bring upon flesh upon you, and cover you with skin. Notice what the Bible says about your skin. It's just a covering. Will cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And there was and when I beheld, lo, the sinews, if I'm saying that right, and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Now remember what I told you about? Remember what I told you? Let me time out for just a second, just for a second. Remember what I told you about the spirit and the breath? Anytime you hear the spirit and the breath mentioned, or not any time, but a lot of times, that you just keep it in the back of your mind that when you hear spirit, that breath is in the background. When you hear breath, spirit is in the background. Well, that also applies with the wind. When you hear breath, wind is in the background. When you hear wind, breath is in the background, and spirit is in the background. These three are a mystery in the scriptures because they're so close to each other when it comes to life. And you'll see that as we move on. So, then, time in. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. Well, he ain't talking about, he said, oh, he didn't say breath. He said wind. But the Lord said prior in that, he said, I will cause breath to enter into you. Now he's talking about wind. You see how close that is? Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. We're talking about life, truths of breath. You see how spirit was mentioned? You see how breath was mentioned? You see how the wind is mentioned? And they all three, no matter who's in the front, the others are in the background. Interesting. Let's ask some questions about this scripture. Who in the verse above controls the wind? Well, of course, we know the Lord does, because the Lord told Ezekiel to prophesy. And when a prophet prophesies, they're prophesying on the authority of God's word, because God said so. And because he prophesied and obeyed the Lord, then God's word came to pass. So who in the verse controls the wind? The Lord does. Next question. What did the verse say that the wind was? It said that the wind was breath. Did you get that? Thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. God said that the wind is breath. And then in a prior study, earlier, we find out that it was God's breath that was breathed into men that gave life. And now we're talking about the wind being in the same picture. Next question. Did the sinews and skin that covered the army bring them to life? No, they did not. You can have a body and you can have guts and you can have sinews to hold all your stuff together, your bones and your joints and all that stuff together, and have eyes and have ears and everything else, but you're no better than an idol without breath. What then made the army stand up alive? Breath. God's command for the wind to come upon them and in them and breathe upon these slain. What was the breath called? It was called the wind. Who controls the wind? God controls the wind. In other places we see where he controls the whirlwind, the great hurricanes. We live down here in Florida and all these hurricanes and everything, and people think that that's such a phenomena and that it's Mother Nature that drives the wind. The Bible says that God brings the whirlwind for judgment. And that's exactly what happens. They say send all the planes through that and do all they want to do to say that they're on top of that hurricane, but every one of those newscasters say we can't predict but just so much. I mean, Mother Nature carries it wherever it wants to, and they're so unpredictable. Well, they ain't unpredictable to the Lord. He's right on top of it. He's driving it right where he wants it. Who controls the wind? The Lord does. Who controls breath? The Lord does. Isn't this neat? You study that Bible, you get truth. So the truth of breath, according to what the Bible says, is what? Is life. Breath is life, according to Scriptures. We're talking about our study, life. What is life? We're talking about life truths of breath. And we've studied breath in the Scriptures. And what conclusion have we come to about breath? Well, I mean, it don't take a very smart person to listen to everything, all the Scripture and everything that we've talked about of what breath is. Breath is life. And whose breath is it? It's God's breath. And is it controlled by man? No. Who's controlling it? The Lord. So, who's in charge of life? According to breath, the Lord is. Psalm 150, verse 6, as we close out this study. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Isn't that good? All right. Well, there's our study on truths of breath. It's getting pretty good, isn't it? All of God's Word is good because it's truth. Next, we'll go into our study of life truths of spirit and what the Bible talks about spirit and how it has to do with life and what the Bible says. Let me give you these scriptures for today, okay? You ready? Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. John chapter 14, verse 6. Job chapter 34, verse 14 and 15. Daniel chapter 5, verse 23. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 through 10. Psalms chapter 150, verse 6. Well, thank you for listening today and studying with all of us. And we enjoy our studying and we appreciate it and thank the Lord for the privilege of being able to study His Word. No matter what the world does and how the world hates God, that's not us. We don't hate the Lord. We love the Lord. And we're waiting on His return. That's what we are doing. We're waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ to come get us. And in the meantime, we are going to get as close to His Word and get ourselves full of His Word and conform ourselves, allow God the Holy Ghost to conform us into the image of His Son and bring as many people into the body of Christ as we possibly can and be a light for the Lord. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. While you have light, believe in the light. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Brother Thurman, thank you for studying. God bless you. Get you something good to eat and praise the Lord and take it easy. We'll study again on our next recording. Bye-bye.